How doth the city sit solitary? Chapter 2, how hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion? Chapter 4, how is thy gold become dim? The Jews call it how, and it's not a rhetorical question. The answer is, and I think that's the whole book, is okay, when you're homeless because your wife kicked you out, you don't have a penny to your name, everything's gone sour, your life is a mess, and you're sitting on some street corner with your head in your hands, how? This is the answer. This is why we're studying the book. You weren't faithful, God. God stopped blessing. He withheld his blessing from you. He poured out on you all his, like, lack of blessing, and you're starting to get some of the things you deserve, and that's how. And this is what we're reading about. And God's not happy about this. Zedekiah at any moment could have turned to the Lord, led the people in repentance to God, and even then in the 11th hour, God could have spared, and he would have. I see people, it seems like it's always in slow motion. You ever see like a train wreck or a car wreck or something, and it always is like slow motion, everything, and you see it happening, and that, okay, to me, that's what a person's life is like when they stop being faithful to the Lord. I see it in marriages, I see it in people's lives, I see it just, no, and you yell, and the time slows down, and they're about to collide, just go right off the tracks, and off they go. Why? Oh, I just think I'm no better than God, because, you know, I'm really super smart, and God, well, not so much. I believe the Bible's true, basically, but in my situation, let me tell you why it doesn't apply to me here. It's a faith walk. I say this because, you know, I teach all the times, and you know what the Bible says, like John says, there's no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth, whether they're my physical children or my spiritual children. That's true. And then, of course, conversely, there's no greater disappointment, there's no greater sorrow, there's no greater heartache than watching your children not walk in the truth, whether they be your physical children or whether they be your spiritual children. And I just, it just grieves me. But here's the thing. So here we are, Wednesday night, we're in a book of Lamentations. This is great, right? And great, 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 great. But I've seen people come and I've seen people go, you know, because, we'll listen to the Word of God. Let it sink in our hearts. Let it have its work, its sanctifying work. It's like we're responsible for everything, you know. Not like this. You disobey one commandment, God's going to clot up and rain all over you, and you're going to be just like Lamentations, eating your kids as the Babylonians are in siege for 2.5 years. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you leave, and I'm not saying this either. Listen. You go to church somewhere else, you're going straight to hell. I've never said that. I don't even joke about that. I'm talking about not being faithful to God. That's all I'm talking about here, okay? We're responsible for not listening to the Word, but enacting it out in our lives. Every once in a while, I feel like I really have to say that to everybody. Chapter 4, verse 1, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. Okay, we see the temple, the house of the Lord, now it's a pile of rubble. How? Well, you weren't faithful to God, that's how. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not saying it judgmental, like, because America's, you know, number one, and we would never be unfaithful to God. I mean, you know, far be it for us to ever not, you know what I mean? But I just want to point out, it's not rhetorical. What happened to Jerusalem will happen to Washington, D.C., will happen to New York, will happen to Boston, will happen to Las Vegas, Atlanta, and every place else. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? They're like vessels of gold. Now they're vessels of dishonor. We read that in, you remember when Jeremiah was down at the potter's house. Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughters of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. Sea monsters, anyone got something else? Jackals is probably not good. Sometimes they use that word for dragons. But that wouldn't be right either here. I think sea monsters, most probably whales. I mean, look at, we draw out the breast. We're talking about mammals. Yeah, but sea monsters, it's just like a sea being, though, is kind of the idea. A debated passage, to be sure. How is this going to be applied? Well, I don't know, but look at the last part of it, like the ostriches in the wilderness. When ostriches lay their eggs, you know, they bury some, they step on others, inadvertently, not purposefully, but there's like a cruel ineptitude, and I think that's the idea. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, no man breaketh it unto them. Why? Because it's a 2.5-year siege. Wake up one day, look out over the wall, and there's an army out there. You ain't going anywhere. Do you have a Snickers bar? You know that old commercial, Snickers, you know, we're going to be here a while kind of thing. Hey, no, it's way past that. It's like all the stuff is, no, merchants aren't walking up to the gates of the city past this army and selling you bread. Hopefully you're all got a big store, but at 2.5, who keeps 2.5 years worth of food in their house? That's the problem, isn't it? So you have the sucking child, you think of here, you know, baby, infant, like we would think, you know, crying for mom, and there's nothing to give them. The young children ask bread. Now they're old enough to ask, and no man break it unto them. There's no, and by the way, this is still in acrostic form, like chapter 1, like chapter 2, like chapter 3 and chapter 4, they're all in acrostic form. Chapters 2, 3, and 4 are in strictly acrostic form because the 16th and 17th letters are interchanged. We talked about that, right? And I think it's also the same here. And chapter 5 is not acrostic at all, though it still has 22 verses. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They were brought up in scarlet. They that were brought up in scarlet, I should say, embrace dunghills. Ash heaps could be a word there. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people. That's the answer to the how. It's punishment. It's for sin. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Why is this punishment worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, rain, fire, and brimstone, it was over really, really quick. Here, again, people die by degrees, 2.5 years long. Her Nazarites, it could be Levites, nobles is the idea, priests, people dedicated to God is the idea. Here it says Nazarites were purer than snow, they were whiter than milk, they were more ruddy in body than rubies, their polishing was of sapphire. Their visage is an old English word for face. We know because we play Taboo, and if you can't say face for the word, you always say visage, and then everyone looks at you like you're speaking Cantonese or something like that. You know, your visage, and you, okay, just, now you know. So if we're playing Taboo together, and Sue says visage, and you don't say face right away, she'll come across the table and grab you. I'm just telling you, but their visage, their face is blacker than a coal. And I got to lighten it up a little bit here. This is really, you know, you're going to go home and just like cry all night long and have nightmares. You got to clown around a little bit. This is hard stuff. And I don't want you to imagine this. We're going to talk about like cannibalism and stuff like that. I don't want you to, you know, have like Donner party dreams tonight and, you know, soccer teams that crash in the Andes and start eating one another. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. Who? These Nazarites who are purer than snow. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. Why again? Because it's quicker. Sword, ouchie, ouch, bleed out and done. Hunger, pain every day. Can you imagine your kids crying for food and you having nothing to give them day after day after day? They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger, for these pine away, stricken through the want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. Sodden means boiled. They were their meat, means food. in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Now, did they kill them and then cook them? Or did they die of natural causes and then they cooked them? Does it matter to you? Is this horrific? And we read in Deuteronomy that God promised this would happen. The lady who's so delicate she wouldn't even put her foot on the ground, she'll be eating her children in the siege. And God predicted it would happen. Turn away from me, bad, bad things. Why? You're saying, well, God, well, he's just like, you just got to like live and let live, God. You got to lighten up. No. Stop. You think like that and you think like the world. Look, you become like the gods you worship. Is the world cruel, cold, and out for itself? Yes. So here they were sacrificing their children to Molech, and now God's burning their children fire. Hey, it's no more than you did. You know, wake up and smell the coffee. God is like doing what he has to do to bring the people back to him. You're saying, really? Yeah. Will it work? Yeah. They never have a problem with idolatry after the Babylonian captivity. Yes. The hands of the pitiful have sodden their own children. Oh, my, my, my. Verse 11, the Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and it hath devoured the foundations thereof. That's not the worst thing in the whole wide world ever, eating your children. You say, what could be worse? Having your children go to hell? You know, people say, I always think like this. People say, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm actually a rather good person. You know, and I'm thinking like, you don't believe in Jesus. Well, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't need Jesus. I don't need salvation. You're the worst person of all. If your children fall in your footsteps, they're going to hell with you. How does that make you a good person? I always wonder that. It's like, the kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the earth would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Why is that? Because like about 100 years before this, this guy named Sennacherib, he came with like I don't know how many, 100,000 Assyrians. And the Assyrians, they had taken the northern kingdom over. They were the big gorilla on the block, and they were beating up everybody, and nobody could stand against them. And he had like this list of accomplishments. He was whatever and oh, undefeated. He was running the table. He comes to Jerusalem. Isaiah says, they're not even going to shoot an arrow there. It's a big siege. They're looking out the walls, all these Assyrians, right? And God says, what's an Assyrian to me? He sends an angel out, God does, and one night after supper, 185,000 Assyrians are dead. Sennacherib goes back down the road, kicking cans, talking to himself with his hat in his hand. Hey, thanks for playing. We have some lovely parting gifts, Sennacherib. Beat it. So he goes back home. His kids assassinate him while he's worshiping in his temple. You don't think that got around the neighborhood? Everyone thinking like, hey, don't mess with Jerusalem. God's going to fight for them. You know, guys are outside. All of a sudden, it's like 185,000. They're just dead. How many were there all together? Did God kill all 185,000? Or were there like 200,000, 300,000? Like the angel Lord killed every other one? Or left a remnant so go back and tell the story? Don't mess with them anymore. So everyone else is thinking, well, how can Jerusalem fall? God is there. Incredible things are happening in Jerusalem. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. What happened? Well, they stopped worshiping the God who protected them. See, in America, like we don't have to worship God. We got intercontinental ballistic missiles, and we're the toughest army in the world. Listen, I'm not against nukes, but I don't trust in nukes. I trust in God. You know what I mean? I'm not against you having like a 9mm in your you know the stand by your bed. That's fine. Pray. You know what I mean? Trust God. I'm not saying it's got to be either or. But here they thought like, hey, we're bad. Nobody messing with us. No, the reason you're bad is because your God is very tough. Nobody can beat him. Oh, you say we don't need God anymore? You say, ask him to leave? Well, he left. Now, what's your problem? For the sins of her prophets, the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her, they have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garment. They're blood guilty. They cried unto them, depart, it is unclean, depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, they shall no more sojourn here. So here they are going off into other lands, and even to the point where even the heathen are saying, nope, nope, no thanks, no vacancies, get out of here. The anger of the Lord hath divided them, he will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests, they favored not the elders. Who are we talking about? Babylon comes in, you know, and their gods, messengers, instruments of retribution here. And they have not the respect the persons of the priest. Well, he's an old man there. They'll certainly regard him. Not so much. They favored not the elders. Really cruel. And as for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near, our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. You know how, like, when you're having a dream and something's chasing you and you look like you're running in slow motion and you just can't hardly even move? That's, I kind of think of that as, like, you know, the ones who are pursuing us, they're like super fast and we can't even hardly get out of our own way. They hunt our steps. We cannot go in our streets. It's not like we can walk down the street and everything's going to be okay. Our end is near, our days are fulfilled. Our end has come. They know it. Our days are numbered here because our persecutors, they're going to catch us every time. They're faster than eagles. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover, is the word there, thy sins. Is he talking about daughter of Edom? Like Edom, like Edomites? Or is he calling Israel Edom? I think he's calling Israel Edom. He switches from Edom to Zion back to Edom, and I think he's saying the same thing the whole time. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished. Okay? It's done. It's finished. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. Hey, it's only 70 years. You'll come back. Well, 70 years is a big chunk. I don't care how long you live. 70 years is a huge amount of your years. Ones who did remember the temple, they came back, think about it, in their like late 70s, early 80s. That's a long trip across the desert when you're that old. I mean, there were some who came back to Jerusalem, who were taken from Jerusalem. It wasn't the kids or the grandkids, they themselves. And they remembered the former temple. And they saw the new temple and they just cried like snot, nearly the same as it was, is the idea. They remember Solomon's temple, and then this new reconstructed temple wasn't nearly as grand. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our house is to aliens. So we built this house, and now these the Babylonians, they came and they put to people another, and they put them in there, and that was it. And now other people live in the house that we built. A reproach, to be sure. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. It's their wells that they dug, I should say. It's their wood, and it's sold to us. So they're buying their own water back so they can drink it from the Babylonians. They're buying their own wood, so they're buying, you know, water and fuel now. That's the idea of wood, right? To heat, to cook. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest, life of a slave. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not. We have borne their iniquities. That's a nice thing to say when you're, I think, you know, that's not exactly true, but it's something that a people lamenting will say. No, we suffer for our own sin. There is, we're going to see that. We're going to see that in the book of Ezekiel, which is up next, by the way. God saying, what's this I'm hearing? You know, it's this lament. People say, you know, that the fathers have drunk sour, have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And God's saying, what? I don't get it. No, you're suffering for your own sins, is the idea. Well, our fathers did all this stuff, and now look at where you have to, you know, no. There is this idea of, I will say this right. No, you're suffering for your own sins, but a father can sin against his children, to be sure. And so he can bring suffering. You know, you got a dad who's abusive and a bad and an evil man. Children will suffer. You say, well, how come that is anyway? That's the nature of sin. That's why it's so sinful. Innocent people get hurt. If your sin only jumped up and bit you, it wouldn't be nearly so bad. I mean, you're sinning and you're suffering. Good enough, because we always say, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Your sin will never benefit you, ever, ever, even a little bit. That's the thing. At some point, we'll learn that. At some point, we figure it out. Satan, you're a liar. You've always lied. You've always, you know, taken the sin and packaged it up in such a way, presented it like a present, pretty bow and ribbons and all, like, yeah, I gotta have it. And you open it up, and it's just, like, so disappointing. Always, always, always. Is it ever a benefit? No. And if it was just you suffering, it's almost like, okay, again, choose to sin, choose to suffer. But we're always, so often, innocent people are suffering. And that's why God doesn't like that. Because there's innocence involved. But here, I don't think it's that. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. No, not so much. I'm thinking of like Josiah, you know. His father... His grandfather was Manasseh, and there's a king in between there who was another godless, wicked king. And what happens? Well, Josiah loves the Lord and turns the whole nation to the Lord. Last good king. Well, my dad was a... Never mind. I love the Lord, and the whole nation's being blessed by it. So I know what he's saying, and I kind of see it, but I mostly don't, because I figure, like, a lot of times, you know what the problem with America? Well, it's our parents. No, it's not. We haven't quite figured out how to vote, if you ask me. So this is Wacky Wednesday after Super Tuesday that turned out not so super, if you ask me, okay? I don't want to be like super political and stuff like this, but you know, all our problems are brought on by us. I've come to that acknowledgement. We're our own worst enemy. We have met the enemy and he is us. It's just like we had some, there was some good people to vote for. Never mind. Servants have ruled over us. There's none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Does a famine turn your skin black, by the way? I don't know that, you know. Because it says here, like, I got a note, and it says, our skin was hot like an oven, instead of black like an oven, because of the fever of the famine. It may be that, but I don't know. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids of the cities of Judah, maids of the young ladies. Listen, so Babylon comes. They don't have any regard for priests or for old men, but they have plenty of regard for women, right? They're just totally like gentlemen. No. Rape, pillage, more rape. Why? That's how war works. It's not a good thing, is it? But that's how it goes. War's bad. And this like mass rape, we can look at only have 100 different instances we can talk about from history. Once they kill all the young men and all the warrior class and stuff like that, then we have like, you know, warriors from a different nation. What are you going to do to stop them? Yell at them? Call them names? And women are objectified and raped. And this is what happened here. And it's part of the lament because it's, think about it. I mean, we don't want to think about it in our country, of course. For another land, another time, oh, it's not that bad. No, it's a horrible thing. Princes are hanged up by the hand. That can't be pleasant. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. They took the young men to grind because that's woman's work. And so they take a young guy and they just give him woman's work, and it's to humiliate and to humble. Children fell under the wood. So you put a burden on, okay, because it already says there, like, servants have ruled over us, right? So it's kind of like we're slaves, and that's all there is to it. So we have, like, young children, they're putting wood on them to carry, and they're making the load so heavy the kids just fall under it. And they're having probably a big laugh, like, you know, literally the straw that broke the camel's back. How many more sticks of wood can we get on this kid before he just, you know, does a nose plant? And it's cruelty upon cruelty upon cruelty. Why? Well, we turn our backs from the Lord. And the reason I say this, the only reason we study it is because it can happen. Not just to us as a nation, I mean to us as individuals. I've seen the person with his head in his hands and like, you had the whole world right by the tail. You were doing really good. You were serving the Lord and God was blessing and everything was good. And why did you stop? Why did you turn tail and run? What did you think that was out there that was better? I don't understand that. And then we blame God. Our sin has found us out, right? And then we blame God. Why has all this happened to me? What? You mean the product of your sin? My wife found out about my adultery. She kicked me out. Now I don't have a place to go. Oh, by the way, I picked up some nasty disease. I got to take penicillin for like the rest of my life. Oh, and by the way, it resulted in a pregnancy. Now I got to pay child support for some kid that the mother of won't ever let me see, and my whole life's gone sideways, and why has God done this to me? Excuse me, thou shalt not commit adultery. He didn't do that to you. That's kind of what I'm trying to say here, you know? It's this is why we're studying a book like this, you know? All right, let's keep moving. All right, the elders are seized from the gate, the young men from their music. It's not business as usual, is it? Guys in the gate playing checkers, gossiping, making plans. The city council met there, right? Kids playing music. I don't know, what kind of culture is this? Now, we understand kids and music, right? But none of that stuff is happening. It's not business as usual. It's a sad day, right? Everyone's put their musical instrument away. They can't just like hang around. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. Is that a sad verse? The joy of our heart is ceased. Joy is kind of an important thing. So much so, we put it right in our Constitution, haven't we, right? Well, is it part of it's not part of the Constitution. It's part of the Declaration of Independence, right? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's so important. We're going to guarantee you, we're going to promise you life. Nobody can take it away. Liberty, freedom, that's what America, that's what it's all about. And the pursuit of happiness. We can't guarantee happiness, but we can guarantee you can pursue it, right? And you can chase after it like, unicorns and honest politicians. Find it if you can get it. I mean, it'll be wonderful if such a thing exists. But we don't. We're not going to guarantee it. But you can at least. But here, there's no joy. There's no. What's the sense? What's the sense of life if there's no joy? If there's no hope of joy? If there's no. What's the point? Right? The joy of our heart has ceased. They're collecting us all. They're heading us off to Babylon. We get chains, long walk. Are we riding in carts? No. Every time I slow down, they whip me. Give me just enough bread to keep me alive. Oh, happy day. Anyone feel like doing a dance? Nope, not today. Our dance has turned into mourning. Why am I keying on this? It's sad. It's sad when we're not serving the Lord. It's the results of it are really, really sad. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Now, is it like Jack fell down and broke his crown? No, he's talking about a real crown, like a something that you would sit on your head, and it's like your honor. It's like king's wear to show the king. We were the crown of all the nations. We're God's chosen people. Well, now he chose us for destruction. He chose us for captivity for 70 years. The crown is fallen from our head. We're not number one anymore. Woe unto us. Why? That we have sinned. Now, that answers the book question. How? How has all this happened? How this and how that? We've sinned. Any questions? I'd be happy to take questions. This is very self-explanatory, isn't it? Right? We sin. You know what's funny? On the way home today, it was this old Chevy, old Beater mobile, and the back window, they had a little placard, and it was printed out like professional. It wasn't like some handwritten. It says, I can't remember the first part of the verse, but it's the one that says, "No, you should know that your sin will find you out. Be sure that your sin will find you out." And it was in the back of a window. I thought, like, that's really weird. Hey, he must be a real fun guy to hang out with, something like this. Okay, it's a Bible verse, it's really there, and I've used that myself, and I think when you're talking about something, because you're in Lamentations, you're in a text, you say, hey, listen, don't sin, it's going to end up real bad. The guy's running down the highway with it in his back a window, and I'm thinking, like, what's that all about? I wasn't sinning, I was doing 65, I was listening to, a podcast, and it was a gospel podcast. I wasn't sinning. I'm thinking, like, I know I'm good, but, thanks for the warning, I guess, but it's always a good warning, don't sin, that's bad. I mean, it won't work out good for you. But having said that, I was thinking, well, that's right. It's a Bible verse. It's really there. Your sin will find you out. And if anyone, was thinking about, as that guy drove by, if he's thinking about going to his affair or knocking over a bank or a drugstore to get OxyContin or whatever his, whatever somebody's diabolical mind was coming up with, he saw that. I thought, if they stopped and repented, that would be a good thing. So why? Because the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And now, nationally, this sin has found them out. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Foxes don't walk down Main Street, do they? We've never had a fox in this, a four-footed one, in this building, right? Or walking across the parking lot, or they don't hang out where there's a lot of people. They're in Zion. It's desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Crazy, isn't it? Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Now, chapter 3 was amazing, right? This is back to a dirge. This is very, very lamentable. It's almost like, But here, a little bright spot. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. We got what we deserve, Lord. You're still good. You're still God. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us for so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. renew our days as of old. What a wonderful prayer. True repentance in that prayer? I think so. Repentance is wonderful. Most of all the problems in my life have been answered by repentance. I still repent all the time. We say, why, are you some sort of diabolical, horrible sinner? I'm still someone who needs to repent. I need to admit to the Lord when I'm wrong, and I need to grow. I need to own my sin and forsake it. And God loves repentance. It cures what's ailing you. Does he like me to dig my heels in further and try to explain to him why he's wrong and I'm right? No, you're right, Lord. That was stupid of me. I shouldn't have spoken like that to that guy, my boss who fired me, or that guy who punched me in the eye, or whatever the situation. Whatever the hypothetical situation, I have not been fired nor punched in the eye for a long season. So I'm not talking, I'm giving you for instances, but you're smart, you know that. Now look at verse 22. This is sad. We just had a couple of good verses in a row. Look at verse 22. But thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth against us. When this is publicly read, when is it publicly read? Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. Which it's like July, August. We don't know. It's the day that, remember we talked about that back along. It was the day that, well, a lot of things happened on that day. Both temples were destroyed in Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av, okay? In 70 AD, and Solomon's temple. And it was the day that the spies came back with the bad report, and they believed the spies. It's supposed to have been, I don't know which one of these is true and which one is, they might both be true, but I think one of them's biblical and one of them's just traditional, that the golden calf episode was on Tisha B'Av. So this is read in the synagogues on the 9th of Av, this book, Lamentations. And then look at the last verse. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Now, nobody wants to end a lament that way, right? So what do? They go back and read verse 21 again. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. It's a scripture, you know. Okay, read it. It's there. It's not that they ignore that verse. You have utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Listen, if that's the last word I say tonight, and I'll go home, God bless you and have a good night's sleep. You know, it's almost thinking like, I'm going to stay up all night. Look, they go back and they read verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. That's a wonderful prayer. So they end there. I think that's fine. So why does it end so badly? Just that last warning God's given us, like, hey guys, it can go very. Your life can go very bad. Don't live life in sin and rebellion and thinking you're the smartest thing going. You're not. Your sin is horrible. You remember Jesus saying like, I'm trying to think of the direct quote when he's talking about, you know, hell, and he's talking about it's better to go into, you know, heaven blind. He's talking about if your, you know, eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your hand affect thee, you know, cut it off. It's better to go into heaven halt and blind than, you know, to be cast all your whole body into perdition. Think about that. You're like an animal caught in a trap will chew its leg off. A rat caught in a trap will chew off its leg and leave it in the trap and thinking, okay, I can get around with three legs. People aren't smart as a rat who think like, nah, I think sin is a good idea. I think eventually it's going to pay off. Well, it never has before, but it's going to pay off eventually. That's a bad bet. But we do dumb stuff like that. And here, the end, the wages of sin, is. Look at Lamentations in a summed up in a verse. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, surely it shall die. The day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you're going to die. Sin equals death. Questions? And here, it's dramatically played out. And all of a sudden, Pleasant, we're talking about boiling kids. We're talking about old men being strung up by their hands. We're talking about all kinds of kids falling under the weight. I mean, think of all the things that we've gone through in all this book. Sin is bad. Repentance is good. So the last verse, turn thou unto us, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Let's pray. Lord, we fear sin. We fear what it does to us. We know that you're good and your blessing is on us. We don't pay for our sins, Lord. Jesus paid for all our sin, but we understand that we choose to sin now. We choose to suffer. It's not going to make us, it's not going to advance our cause, not a little bit, not at all. And Lord, all the people go to church here. I pray that we all as a church turn from sin, that we're not the church with our head in our hands thinking, what happened? Why is all this falling upon us, Lord? All this, just deliver us. Help us to see how good you are and how wonderful it is to serve you and what a bleak day it is to turn away from you. And Lord, just help us to remain faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.